It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade. And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time. But say a prayer. Pray for the other ones. At Christmas time, it's hard, but when you're having fun. There's a world outside your window, and it's a world of dread and fear. These are the opening lines to the 1984 song, Do They Know It's Christmas, by the supergroup Band Aid, a song which was written and recorded in reaction to reports of famine in Ethiopia. The song has endured, and every Christmas season, it enters the rotation of music that radio stations play. And no word of a lie, when I got in my car this morning to come to this morning's service of worship, this is the first song that came on the radio. It is a song that is intended to solicit a reaction, to move us to acts of compassion, and to ensure that the world becomes a better place. And I believe that part of the reason we still hear this song annually at each Christmas is because we still have work to do. These words are sung in an upbeat and energetic manner, yet they portray a world which is broken and hurting, a world which cries out for a reckoning, a world that cries out for healing, a world which cries out for saving. Which leads us to the stillness of this hour, a moment of anticipation, a time of joy as we hope for the peace and the love which Emmanuel, God with us, brings. This is the moment where we wait in stillness for the birth of Jesus Christ. An event which unsettled the world, disrupted a kingdom, and ushered in a new way of being. The birth of Jesus, God with us, his life, his teaching, his healing, his reimagining of the law told us that the status quo could not remain. This imbalance of power was not what God intended or wanted for creation. That was true 2,000 years ago, and it remains true today. The National Post published an opinion piece the other day titled, What Jesus, Descendant of David, Promises Mankind. The article focuses on the sins of King David and his affair with Bathsheba and the events which follow. Recognizing that at the end of things there is no justice for Bathsheba, that a reckoning is necessary, but reckoning with evil actions is never fully satisfactory. Not all that was lost can be made whole. And the article continues to dissect much of the news over the past year of men in powerful positions, abuses of that power, and the sexual scandals which have dominated the news cycle of late. It's a powerful article, and I commend it to your attention. And as we prepare then to celebrate the birth of Jesus, as we are getting ready to step into a new year, this message of our Savior's birth demands that we look at and that we reevaluate our priorities, that we contend with the injustices which we see before us. Just as the status quo could not stand in the time of Jesus, the same is true today. We find ourselves today living outside of the love that God has offered us. Instead of creating communities of care, trust, and love, we live in division, distrust, and hatred. We have built walls between us rather than connecting over what matters, which is our common bond of humanity and the world that we all share. It shames me that in a country like Canada, we have First Nations communities living in poverty and without potable water. That in Canada, a wealthy country, we have individuals who are homeless and living on the streets, for whom we are not able to leverage additional resources to assist when study after study indicates that it is cheaper to permanently house a person than it is to support them in a shelter. I have a sign. It's the only thing I didn't bring out with me tonight. Someone asked me if I was ready. I said yes, I wasn't. I have this sign in my study. It's one we might use for the children's service, for a nativity pageant as we tell the story. The sign reads, "No room at the inn." It's played when Mary and Joseph arrive in Bethlehem and meet the innkeeper. No room. And in some circumstances, we might laugh when this sign comes up at this part of the story. But that sign is a reality in our community. In the coming year, we have both a provincial and a municipal election, an opportunity to ask questions and ensure that the world we live in, the community that we live in, the world God created, is one that is welcoming and equitable for all people. Now you might be thinking, Neil, it's Christmas Eve. We want to hear about the baby. You know, the one called Emmanuel, God with us, the Prince of Peace. I know. But to hear about the baby is to hear the words that the child's mother spoke as she carried him in her womb. Words she spoke while visiting with her cousin. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." Words which Jesus himself would echo in Matthew's gospel, where we find the Beatitudes. Mary's song informs us of God's priorities. We might call it the monologue which foreshadows all which comes after. These words are a sharp rebuke of much that we find problematic in the world. Yes, a baby was born, and we all know that babies are adorable. And yes, this child was born in lowly circumstances. And we might think that this child born to this young, unprepared couple in such circumstances, well, we may say that he's going to have a rough start in life. However, if you've ever held a baby in your arms, I imagine that as you have looked at that child, you have looked and you have wondered about their potential, the things that they might do and the things that they might accomplish. And that child, as they rest in your arms, their potential is limitless. Their life is open. All options are available, and their future is theirs to write. The possibilities are endless. And of course, Jesus was no ordinary baby. And so we stand in awe, with shaking knees like those shepherds. Or perhaps we bow in reverence as the wise ones who visited did. Perhaps we sing hallelujahs as the angels did. We all have our part. We all recognize that the birth of this child means something. And we can read on through the Gospels and discover what Jesus did once he embarked on his ministry of the healing and the teaching. Or we can listen to the words of the woman who knew him best, the words of his mother, which spoke to what his life, teaching, healing would accomplish. You see, it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's not about the gifts that we receive. It's not even about the gifts that we give. It's about how we live. It's about how we understand ourselves as children of God. We live in a world where people are hurting, suffering, alone, and afraid. And within the silence of that pain, a baby is born. And we know that the things of this world are not as the things should be. And what we find here on earth is not the last word. Because God is the one who gets the last word. God, who in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God gets the last word. And that last word begins with the cry of a baby. A baby who would grow into a man and who would teach of God's justice. Who would remind us that God's mercy and love is what would draw us together and inspire us to work together. This is what the birth of Jesus reminds us of. And we need to carry this message in our hearts. Because this moment, this time of silence, when we anticipate and expect the birth of Jesus, it is the moment before the work begins. I am reminded of Howard Thurman's poem, "The Mood of Christmas." When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. Tonight, I would encourage you to make music in the heart, to make a song that is pleasing to God and which honors the Christ child. That tonight you would sing to God a new song, that all the earth would be inspired to sing such a song. For God is great, and God will judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. And for God has done so. God's judgment arrives in the form of a baby, a child who came not to chastise or punish, but to inform, to love, to care, who teaches us a better way forward for all of creation. What child is this? This is Christ the King, the King of kings, whom salvation brings, whom shepherds guard and angels sing, the babe, the Son of Mary. Amen.